Hello, everybody. Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. And this one, I'm going to be covering yet again the Ukraine, because let's face it, this could go south really quick. And if that happens, the world as we know it will never be the same. It's kind of important. All right, I've been reading the news articles and scouring, and I went back and looked at some of my other predictions from last year in regards to Ukraine. And when you look at those videos, I'm pretty accurate. You know, I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm just an old grunt sitting behind your computer screen looking at open source information, then putting together scenarios from there. It's not bad. So first we're going to go over here and we're going to do a quick rundown of what's going on as of April 7th. The first wave, well, that was about voting. The second wave, that was about the pill. Double whang. The third wave, it was about securing more rights than men. What does the fourth wave look like? Find out and arm yourself against the war for your soul and this country. You need these books here. Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism, volumes 1 and 2. They're on sale now. Click on the link below in the description. Because if you save masculinity, you're going to wind up saving the world. Okay, it says here Ukraine is bracing for a renewed Russian offensive on its eastern front. Okay. Well, if you look at my predictions, you know, I predicted they were going to come down from the north, up from the south, and also attack from the east. And the troops from the south, their main objective was to grab the southern end of Kiev so it could be completely encircled. The Russians tried their lightning war, blitzkrieg, American style kind of thing. And there have been massive holes in their planning. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with their training, or the fact that they have no mid-level NCOs to basically crack the whip on the conscripts that they have. I really don't know. I think what you're seeing is a combination of mistakes made from yes men. All right, so what you're seeing here in this first part of the Ukrainian conflict on the side of Russia is the people at the top making the decisions, mainly the one guy, is being told bullshit. So he kicked off this whole thing thinking he had one type of army, and then the reality stepped in and proved to him that it's not. Okay, so, and then there's the other stat out there that up to 60% of Russian munitions are duds. That is really bad right there. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a certain percentage of duds that are going to happen no matter what you do. Because, you know, you're firing a projectile and it goes from 0 to like Mach 3 in less than a second. Flies through the air, gets to its target, and then is expected to detonate. More often than not, that is what happens. Now, the American munitions, I think we have, and now this is an old stat from back when I was in the service, because I used to have to requisition ammo and so forth, get it moved around to different ammo supply points in the country where my unit was going to go and train. The dud rate from American munitions sits somewhere between 4 and 8%. Okay, that's an old stat. It could be completely different now. I don't know. But there's just a certain percentage you're going to have no matter what you do. But 60%
That is a travesty. That is like, that's a clusterfuck at a range, man. It's insane. That right there is the maximum range of a clusterfuck. 60% failure rate.
Wow.
Oh my God. So Russia basically failed in their attempt to subdue Ukraine and take it all over as of yet. Now, Russia is a juggernaut. They have a very long military tradition. They still have oodles of men, planes, artillery, you know, what have you, helicopters, the whole deal. And I believe Russia has realized that their yes men have lied to them, and they are pulling their troops back. And we've also seen a lot of individuals from Putin's inner circle disappear, get arrested, what have you. So that is the, you know, what I'm just saying right here are little glints of information that I'm getting from open source, and I plug it into the puzzle. And yeah, there's a lot of missing puzzle pieces, but if you get enough of them together, you can put together what's going on. And that is what is happening for the first part of this offensive, in my opinion. All right, so what we're seeing now is you're seeing Russia basically withdrawing back to the north, away from Kiev, since they haven't been able to secure or surround the entire capital. And it's one thing to drive down and surround the a city. It's another thing to be able to do that and have supply lines intact behind you so you can maintain the siege. Because if you get down there too quick and you lose your supply lines, you're out there flapping. Okay, now they came down all the way, you know, to both sides of Kiev. But, right here, the south was supposed to move up here and basically cut off this half of the country. And the big water obstacle is the river that runs pretty much through the Ukraine. And I believe this, that really threw a wrench in Russia's plans, because they were unable to circumvent that water obstacle effectively. Okay, we have down here in the Donetsk region, you're seeing a lot of troops moving around here. And from what I'm hearing, there's a lot of movement taking place here in regards, the Russia and Belarus. Now, my guesstimation is Russia, though Belarus is in Russia's pocket, they are not 100% into what's going on here. So you're pretty much going to see probably 80 to 90% of the effort coming from this portion right here in this area. They're already staging and, backfilling losses and shuffling equipment to, basically reconstitute their combat power. Here is some footage, aerial drone footage of what's left behind. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, that's absolutely terrible. Oh, my Lord, look at all the destruction. Well, that's war. That's what war looks like, and that's what war does. Right there. There's another one. Look at that. Woo. That's a lot of taxpayer dollars right there to clean that up. Look at that. Only in the Ukraine can you have like these basically housing developments or whatever, where all these people live. And you're reduced to ashes. There's a storefront. Oh, wow. It kind of looks like Detroit from the 80s. Who knew? All right, here's the global concern over Russian troop buildup. This is back to February. We're going through the whole thing here. February 28th. All right, you can see here on this map, they're trying to execute exactly what I predicted right here. They were trying to come up this way to take the south portion of Kiev and basically cut the country in half right here. And then it would be nothing to move over here and take this region, the Odessa, so Ukraine would have no port. And this little sliver left over, they really didn't need to worry about it. Okay. Here are the Russian artillery hits. Okay, and we're getting closer to the cities. Okay, March 14th through 17th. This is where you started to see definitely stuff was falling apart here. All right, now what you're seeing here are aerial photos of the supply depots that were staged just on the other side of the Ukrainian border prior to the invasion. And this here is like these pictures are bread and butter for intel analysts, because it's just it's a numbers game. You literally just count the vehicles and buildings and tents or whatever, and then you know something's going down when you see those numbers go up. Okay, when those numbers get pretty high, you know that they are going to more than likely kick it off. And then they start making predictions as to when said invasion or when war will begin. Now, this one is from a different source. This is from Reuters.com. And we can see, you know, they're showing the withdrawal of the Russian troops. I don't exactly know what's happening with this area up here, but, you know, the Russians aren't the only ones doing a reorg right now. The Ukraine is doing the same thing, trust me. Okay. The only advantage the Ukraine has now is they have a lot of fortifications and reinforced terrain around this area here, and they've had 8 years to put it up. Okay, that's it. They have no air power. Their tanks, I mean, they're radically outnumbered in tanks, even though Russia did take quite a licking in that department, along with their armor personnel carriers. Okay, but Russia has way, way more stuff, and this is going to turn into a classic Russian ground and pound, which they're really good at. All right, so you're going to see if this continues into another month, you're going to really start to see the slow, methodical creep that Russia can do when they put their mind to it. Okay, and it's going to be really hard pressed for Ukraine to hold that back, especially if it gets really, really bad. All right. I mean, that's just War 101. You know, I'm not telling anyone anything new here. All right, here's some more. Well, that's awesome. You get up in the morning and you have a BMP-3, you know, right up front in your front yard. Oh, yeah. I saw this footage. It was a cruise missile. Okay, so here, like, if you're holding a Molotov cocktail, right? And you're throwing said Molotov cocktail, right? And you don't have a weapon in your hand right here. You're fucking up. You're fucking up. Now, they're probably training here, but still, you train as you fight. So, if you're going to start throwing flaming bottles of oil at vehicles and people, people tend to get upset when that happens, and they will shoot at you. And pretty much the only defense is to shoot back. Just saying. All right. I'm not going to go through all of the refugees. We all know what's going on here. Now, before I end this, I'm going to talk about the these war crimes. All right. I was in Abu Ghraib prison in 2004 in Iraq. And while we were there, they uncovered, I believe, two or three different mass graves and they were located really close to the buildings where I was staying at. We're talking, they found one that was not that old, had maybe 11 to 20,000 bodies in it. And then they found another one that was significantly older. And, you know, they estimated in the neighborhood of 100,000 people were buried in those mass graves. And they would be buried, and they would, you know, a year or two later, they would dig another pit, throw more people in there. And it just turned into this horrible hodgepodge of bones and teeth and clothing that people were wearing. And listen, it was a fucking nightmare. All right. Now that took Saddam to do that 8 or 9 years. And he had a huge infrastructure in place to do that. So when I hear the numbers of individuals who were killed, and those numbers aren't that high, I might be inclined to think, and this is just my opinion, of course, that a lot of that shit was done by local commanders. All right, so what you can expect moving forward, and this is a prediction, when and if this conflict ends, there's going to be a huge screaming for retribution about these war crimes. And you're going to see Russia hand up probably anywhere from 2 to 6 individuals and blame them for everything, and they're going to get whacked. That's just how it works. Now, do I think these war crimes were done because they're ordered from the top? Nah, I'm going to have to go. This is my opinion, of course. I'm going to have to say no. Do I think those war crimes were committed by soldiers in that area and local commanders due to frustration? Yes. It's very common for that to happen. All right. So anyway, that is my take on what's going on in the Ukraine conflict. Another prediction I'm going to make is you're going to see China and Russia form up, and then, you know, you're going to see other, once that happens, we're right back to, 1914, 1915, prior to kicking off World War I, because the same thing happened then. That's probably happening as we speak. Anyway, that's my time. You guys take it easy.